Congregation, we will begin this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 415, stanzas 10. Keep my soul, O gracious Savior. Come, I pray thee, deliver me, lest my head with shame be covered, for my refuge is in thee. Trusting in thy power supreme, Lord, I wait for thy salvation. Come, Jehovah, and redeem Israel from tribulation. 415, the last stanzas. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Luke 1, beginning by verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, O richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his blessing in this morning hour. O Almighty, all-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, it is in the morning of this Sabbath day that thou hast been pleased to open the doors of thy house, that we may be assembled together round about thy testimony. It is a day called after thy holy name, consecrated unto thy holy service, Lord. O, are there now also of thy people in our midst, in thy holy house? O, then it shall be a wonder that thou hast not swept us away with the besom of destruction, that we are in the land of the living, that we are in the time of grace. For, Lord, also there are those who are not of thy people, who yet live for their own account, who walk onwards on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. But it is in thy providence that we are all together in this morning, and it shall be a wonder if thou wilt give thy word and testimony. If there may be a message that comes from on high that is suitable unto this one or that one. For we have forfeited the least of thy consideration, but thou hast been so kind and long-suffering to leave us not only in this life, whereas others swiftly were taken away, but we may be in health, in strength, in quietness, in peace, and then in thy house, separated outwardly from the world. O, what a wonder dost thou give unto us, whereas thousands upon thousands have never heard of that one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Thousands upon thousands have turned their back upon it and have departed from the truth. Lord, what maketh us to differ, that with our children and grandchildren we may still find a place under the proclamation or the reading of thy word? But unto whom much is given, much shall be required. O, therefore we beg of thee, O God of grace, wilt thou accompany thy word with thy Spirit, that the blessing may be wrought in the heart? Oh, how many shall there be who still are without thee, without hope, without a Savior, without grace in their heart? Oh, that then this morning thou wouldest come, and thou wouldest yet enter with thy word and Spirit into the heart, and say unto such a dead sinner, live, yea, live, that thou wilt arrest us, that thou wilt turn us, that thou wilt quicken us. O, deliver us from that kingdom of darkness. Translate us into the kingdom of thy dear Son. But, Lord, hast thou also a people in our midst that are not a stranger of that beginning work? Perhaps it is so covered, it lies so under the ashes, it is so impossible to behold it, to believe it. Oh, it is a way that thou instructs thy children, that they cannot of themselves believe for one moment. But Lord, that is the way in which thou dost bring thy children to that place of that father of the lunatic boy. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. O, even the disciples on the sea said, Master, we perish. And how could they perish with the Master on board? And yet, Lord, that becomes the experience, for thy people cannot hold on to anything of themselves. There is only one thing that they are able to do, and they do it many times each day, and that is to sin everything away. And thou bringest them to that place, needy and sorrowful to thee, O Lord, I cry. Let thy salvation set my soul on high. It is a people that cry with David, turn thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am so distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble o'er me roll. Oh, if there are such in this morning, Lord, that dare not, that cannot say, I belong to thy people. I hope the fear of thy holy name is wrought in my heart. But it is a people that find themselves outside, that are unworthy, undeserving, and instead deserving to be cast away and forgotten. But Lord, wilt thou now visit such souls, hiding perhaps in their inner chamber, with their mouth closed, and yet, oh, ashamed, undone, guilty, perplexed, and yet they come to thy house and try to listen and say, Lord, could there be one word for me this morning? Wilt thou declare my way? Is there yet help for one that is so helpless? Is there yet hope for one so hopeless? Ah, Lord, we beg of thee, use thy words, and give yet tidings in the heart of such a one that are brought there by thy Spirit. Remember thy people. Oh, Lord, they need to be led into that mystery of being saved freely by grace. And thou must empty, thou must uncover, thou must make room, so that room will be there for that only mediator. Oh, in him alone lies salvation. And the apostle has written, Christ, which is our hope, he did come into this dark and sinful world. He did come to suffer, to bleed, and to die. He did come, leaving the glories of heaven behind, entering into poverty that the poor will be made rich. He did come to assume the human nature into personal union with his divine, so as to suffer and pay the price, shed his blood and make atonement. Satisfy thy justice, O God. Bear the penalty of a people that deserves that everlasting punishment. Oh, who could ever have devised such a way but thee alone? Lord, may then it please thee today to declare it by renewal unto thy children and lead them into it more and more. For the further that thou leadest thy people, the poorer, emptier they become, the greater becomes the wonder that thou hast not made a full end with them. Thou art faithful and thou showest it unto thy Zion. Lord, remember then young and old. Wilt thou yet visit with thy salvation that his young congregation may be favored with thy spirit? Blow then upon this garden. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. But we hear the sound of it, and then we can notice the fruit of it, the results of it. Oh, come yet, Lord. And may it be a house of God. May it be a true Bethel unto us this morning. Remember thy Zion over the length and the breadth of this world. Be with all thy truly called, anointed servants. Wilt thou be pleased to help them, and also those that labor in the vacant places? Oh, thou art able to use those means, and then that old corn can be so nourishing for thy Zion. Lord, remember then those that labor among Jew and Gentile. May that be done in simplicity, in faithfulness, in truthfulness. Lord, remember those that are lonely, in oppression and persecution. Remember those that are in distress. Thou knowest everything, and thou canst find them also this day. Look upon us then, Lord, and give grace. Let thy kingdom come. We ask also, Lord, for the congregation. Though we heard that there are none with ailments, with sickness, with treatments, or in hospitals, but there are others beyond the congregation. And Lord, those messages, those warnings come unto us all, for we also must surely die. Remember then, Lord, in grace and in compassion, increase the number of thy faithful servants. Wilt thou then call, send forth, and qualify? Look upon us in this morning. Our Lord, thou knowest how it is. May there be a few sires, Aaron's and hers. May there be those for whom it has become impossible, but we heard from thy word already. The things that are impossible with men are possible with thee. Our Lord, remember us then. In compassion, behold us in thy beloved Son. O Savior of Zion, intercede for us at the throne of thy Father. Him thou hearest always, O God. Wilt thou now in this morning then show us thy favor, work with thy spirit, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 444. The stanzas 7 and 8, 444. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe. His righteousness shall bless the habitations of children's children through the generations that keep his covenant and obey his law. 7 and 8 of 444. when Moses led his flock to the backside of the mountain, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in that burning bush. That was a surprising visit. When Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. That was a surprising visit. When Samuel was laid down to sleep, the Lord called him, spoke to him. That was a surprising visit. When the disciples on the first day of the resurrection were together, the doors being shut because of fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." That was a surprising visit. Time and again, this is the way the Lord deals with his people. He comes to a remnant that does not expect anything anymore but to be cast away. A remnant that is in distress, that is so cast down. A remnant in bonds, in afflictions, in barrenness. Their hope is cast down. Their hope is even cut off. But then the Lord comes, and the Lord appears, and the Lord makes his gracious presence manifest. And it is true what the psalmist says, his coming perfects our salvation. Has that ever happened unto you? Has the Lord ever come as a surprising God and visit your soul in mercy? Do you know when that happens? When you have sinned it all away? Do you know when that happens? When those people are in distress? When they are in bonds, in prisons? When they have no hope left anymore? When they say, "Lord, it is impossible." But when it is impossible, then it is possible from the Lord's sight. Oh, is there a remnant fearing that the Lord has forgotten them altogether? And then when the Lord comes so unexpectedly, it is a token for good. It is a testimony that the Lord knows of them, that he knows of their distress and all their troubles. It is a testimony that the Lord comes and gladdens them with his presence. If they are unable to help themselves, then that Almighty, that all-wise and that all-sufficient and all-knowing God comes to deliver them. Oh, then they are so surprised by the Lord's care, by the Lord's faithfulness. He comes in his way. He comes also at his time. He comes when you do not know it anymore. And then he shows that he alone is God. Are there such people here this morning? This Sabbath day marks the time that the period of Advent is beginning, that we commemorate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the actual coming as on Christmas Day, but that he was promised, that he was foretold, that he was prophesied, and all that leads up to it. The congregation, let us then, in this time of Advent, consider how that the Lord God is a surprising God for a people that do not expect it anymore. You can find the words of our text in that portion which was read, Luke 1, the verses 26 through 31. And in the 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Thus far, Gabriel and Mary. That's what the text speaks about. But three thoughts. First, a surprising visit. Secondly, an even more surprising address. And finally, a most surprising message. So a surprising visit, an even more surprising address, and a most surprising message. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Who was Gabriel? An angel. An archangel. That means one of the chief angels. 5 centuries earlier, he was sent unto Daniel, who was in captivity. 2 times over he came unto that man of God, and he spoke unto him about the coming Messiah. Daniel had received visions, and now that angel of God, that servant of God, came to make these visions plain, that he would understand those visions. And it dealt with when Messiah the prince would come. Oh, when Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, he was encouraged by that message. The Lord spoke, and then the Lord gave light upon light. Oh, that is a wonder, congregation. And it becomes a necessary wonder in the life of a people unto whom the Lord speaks. And do you think they always understand what the Lord says? What the Lord means with such a word? The Lord then often will use his servants, give light upon light, and declare it, what the Lord has said. Gabriel means the mighty one. So God is the mighty one who is able to deliver. And how? He spoke to Daniel about the prince Messiah. So Gabriel brought tidings of grace. 6 months prior to our text, Gabriel was sent to this earth for the second time to a second person, Zechariah the priest. Verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Gabriel was busy with his holy work of offering. He was in the temple. He was in that holy place, ready to offer up that incense. And there comes Gabriel, sent of God, with the glad tidings that his barren wife Elizabeth would conceive and bear a son. That son would be John, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we read it in verse 17. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so, we read now of another surprising visit. Twice already to people, Gabriel had been sent to speak about the birth of the Savior. And it was a joy unto the angel of God to bear those tidings. And so it is a joy unto God's servants that they receive a tiding of grace to bring unto a people in trouble, in need, and in distress. And it is still that way. It is that glorious task the Lord gives unto his servants. And here in the text, to a third person, Gabriel is sent. And notice, in the 6 month the angel Gabriel was sent from God. He did not go of his own accord. He did not choose a place where he would go. He did not say, there is a person and I will have to bring him a good tiding. God's servants are servants. And they should be servants, that they listen to their master where to go, when to go, and what message they then must bring on God's behalf. In the 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. So this was after Elizabeth had conceived. And after this had also become manifest. And she said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Do you see that God rules? That God directs. Oh, in verse 26 we read, in the 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from God. That was now determined in heaven. That was not devised by men, but this was God's direction. And then when Gabriel came, it was just like he went to Daniel. He went swiftly. Gabriel was diligent. This was Gabriel's duty, but not only duty, that was his delight. And there he came without any delay. And he went to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Yes. When Gabriel went to Daniel, he came to Daniel's inner chamber. When he was sent to Zechariah, it was in the holy temple. And now to Nazareth. That was a city despised, a city which did not count, a city which was in the region of Galilee, the Galilee of the nations, where also so many others lived beside the Jews. Oh, Nazareth was despised and contemptible. You read it later on. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, if nothing good can come out of Nazareth, there must be nothing good that is in Nazareth. You would rather avoid that place. But God's servants cannot choose where they must go. God's servants are sent. The Lord appoints them. The Lord leads them. And he guides them. And where? Oh, Gabriel does not know everything. God's servants surely do not know everything. But now the Lord gave that tiding unto Gabriel, because there was in Nazareth a child of God. And that child of God would say, there is nothing good in me. Yeah. But there was a child of God hidden, as it seemed. And you know what that child of God feared? The Lord has forgotten me. But that is now a child of God. At this time, she needed a visit. And that's now an encouragement this morning for a people, perhaps a soul in trouble, in sorrow, in grief, fearing the Lord never will remember me, never will visit me. The Lord has never made a beginning in my heart. But congregation, count on it. The Lord knows where to find his people. And you can try to hide that the world does not know you, but the Lord knows where you are. And the Lord will also then come with mercy at his time. That also means we can try to hide from God's judgments. But the Lord knows everything, also where the wicked are. And he shall come with his righteous judgment at the time appointed. But Gabriel comes then in Nazareth, that city that was so despised, that was not a city for respectable women and men to live in. But, congregation, that is now where Gabriel is sent by God. Are there now those souls here that say, the Lord will never send us, will never send unto me a tiding of grace? People who have no hope left, who say, now it is again going to become Christmas, but I do not know that Savior. He is hidden for me, and I need him. I cannot be saved outside of him. Oh, a people that miss everything in their life. But there is a desire wrought within. And they cannot explain it, but a yearning, Lord, remember me in mercy. Gabriel went to a virgin espoused of a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We know Mary in some measure, do we not? And she was now espoused unto a man called Joseph. He was a carpenter. They were both of the house of David. They were both children of God. Mary is called a virgin, but that would not be long the case anymore, because they were espoused to be married. And now all things are known in heaven. All things are directed in heaven. This was surely a marriage that was made in heaven, in God's favor. The Messiah must be born. Mary does not know that here. Joseph is not aware of it. But the Messiah was going to come to take man's nature but without man's corruption. And therefore, Isaiah 7 had to be fulfilled. A virgin shall conceive and be with child, and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. Now Mary was already espoused, still a virgin, already under that care of Joseph, her espoused husband. Oh, can we not see the wisdom of God? Can we not see that holy providence of God? No step, no event happens without the Lord's direction. Gabriel is sent to this woman to preach the acceptable year of the Lord for the redemption of Israel. He was sent unto Mary. Now that name Gabriel means God is the mighty one. But what is now the name of Mary? That same name you read in the Old Testament, it was given to Moses' sister, Miriam. And she was born in a time of great bitter trouble and oppression in Egypt. That name means bitterness, grief and sorrow. Did not Naomi testify the same thing when she came back from Moab? Call me no longer Naomi, the lovely one, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. That was not rebellion, but that was an acknowledgement on Naomi's part. It is deserved that the Lord gives me bitterness and gives me a sorrow. That is now Mary's name. That is Mary's name. Was that an applicable name? Or later on you hear her singing that she speaks about the Savior, because she was a sinner. So she had experimentally learned the meaning of her name. She had received that godly sorrow for all her sins. She grieved on account of all her transgressions. She bowed under that name. And it was unto her a daily reminder that she was a sinner against God. Have you ever heard your name in church? Have you ever read your name in the Holy Scriptures? And have you had to say, Lord, that is true. I am Jacob, a deceiver. I am as wicked as a Manasseh. I am a soul persecuting God's church. I am also Mary, with grief and with sorrow about my sins. Are there such girls here this morning? Are there young, are there older women here this morning? Perhaps your name here below is not Mary, but spiritually you have to say, that is my name. Bitter tears of lamentation are my food by day and night. In my deep humiliation, our congregation, those people sometimes begin to sing, and they cannot go any further anymore. But do you also have that same privilege as Mary in Nazareth? She had a place. She had a silent, a quiet place, an inner chamber, where she poured out her soul before God, where she could tell unto God all her need and all her trouble. You know who also was given to do that? Hannah, barren. and an adversary penina to vexen, to fret, cause to fret. And where does she end up? In the temple, pouring out her soul in bitter grief before the Lord. Oh, are there such men and boys too at your wit's end? And now the Lord sends a message. For the Lord sends a surprising, gives her a surprising visit with that angel Gabriel. And when the Lord comes to visit with a servant, then it is not only the visit that already is a wonder, but then that something will be sent. So that brings us to our second thought. The angel came in unto her, and then he began to speak. There was nothing to hinder. That was but a simple house, but that does not matter. The Lord can find his people anywhere, and when it is pleasing to him, he shall visit them. And then there comes a message. Hail, thou that art highly favored. Hail. Was Gabriel now praying unto Mary? No. Was he adoring Mary? No. What then was this? Hail, that means salvation. So here, Gabriel, as God's servant, proclaims unto Mary, salvation is given unto thee. That means all the health and all the strength and all the grace and all the mercy, all the blessings from God come unto thee, O Mary. Hail. Mary does not have that salvation of herself. When she sang, "I, my soul rejoiceth in God my Savior," that was a testimony that she needed to be saved. She could not do that herself. And so this word of Gabriel is the same. Hail, he says unto Mary. She did not deserve it. She did not work that. But you know who declared it? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1. He says unto the praise of his glory, wherein of to the praise of his glory and his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. And see, that was now true for Mary, but she had to be taught this. This had to be revealed unto her, because in her own self she was just in misery and in trouble. Hail, thou that art highly favored. Not merely favored, but highly favored. Oh, and this is not a word that Gabriel chose. This is a word that the Lord laid in his mouth. That means, Mary, you have received that salvation, that grace. And that means the Lord favors you. He looks upon you in love, in compassion, in mercy. Oh, he has graciously accepted you in that beloved, said Paul. But that is not yet what Mary realized here. Oh, Mary, you have reason to rejoice. Hail, thou that art highly favored. And if that tiding, that address was not enough, Gabriel continues and he says, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. Gideon, in fear for the Midianites, not knowing how deliverance would come, the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, the Lord is with thee. And what of Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, then the Lord is with those people. He is before them and he is after them. He is on their right hand and he is on their left hand. Oh, his arms underneath gird them, and above them he covers them with the shadow of his wings. Oh, when the Lord is with those people, he is all around them. He is a shield and nothing can assail, nothing can harm, nothing can cause them to perish. His presence, that is salvation. Near him all is well, even in Nazareth. Oh, perhaps you think you live at the ends of the world. Perhaps you think I live in the midst of so many unconverted, ungodly people, and I am no better deep in my heart. But even there the Lord can find you. Even there the Lord can visit you. Oh, Daniel was in a lion full of den, in a den full of lions, and did not the Lord visit him? With my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. Now that is exactly what happened there in Nazareth. Has it ever happened in your heart and in your life, young and old, that the Lord made his counsel known unto you, and then in his favor, with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know? Oh, then he guides, and then he leads, and then he will tell you and direct you in the steps that you have to take. Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. All that is by grace, that is undeserved on the part of Mary. But nevertheless, blessed art thou among women. Oh, you receive that holiness. You receive that happiness. You receive that mercy and that grace in distinction with others. In congregation, when those things happen in the life, and when the Lord opens your eyes, then it is, why me? Why me, O Lord, that wretched me? Because I am not better. No, I am worse. I am worse than all the best, all the worst in this life. Because of all sinners, then I become the chief. Blessed art thou among women. So that is an abundance of blessings. Remember then what the apostle has said. Where sin abounds, there grace does much more abound. Oh, when the Lord comes in your life, then you need not supply anything, because he brings it all along. And the Lord is not a stingy God. Oh, he is a surprising God. And he blesses in abundance. Oh, then that cup runneth over at such a moment. And that was true for Mary. That is true for those people still today. Oh, we know that the angels of God rejoice in heaven when they know a sinner is repenting. But here you have another such case. The angels in heaven and the angel Gabriel on earth, they surely all rejoiced. And why? There is a sinner highly favored of the Lord. A sinner that is blessed by God. And that is because of that good pleasure. That is because of that one-sided work of God. Oh, has the Lord now ever given you such a surprising, such a blessed address to your soul? And how is it then in your heart? Then it can be that the Lord humbles you at that moment, yes. But you know what is not so uncommon for those people? What you read of Mary. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She knew herself as sinful, as unworthy, as an unbelieving, as an undeserving wretch. Oh, and then she was casting in her mind, troubled at his saying, casting in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. There is a people that cannot readily accept those blessings. That is too high. That is too much. That is too great for such a wretch that they are. You know what such people now must learn? And then they must not become angry this morning. But in all their unworthiness, and in all their undeserving the least of God's blessings, you know where the trouble is. Then it is often still that I want to make myself worthy, and then the Lord can bless me. And that's now precisely the other way around. It is a lesson that I have to be placed outside. And the Lord visits the poor with his salvation. The Lord comes unto the undeserving. The Lord comes unto the guilty to give them grace. Our congregation, grace is sovereign and it is one-sided. But it is a lifelong lesson for God's children to learn it. Time and again they want to bring something. Next Lord's Day, the Holy Supper will be administered. And if now those in whose heart the Lord has begun are honest, how often do you then want to bring something along to the table, just like Mary? And congregation, an empty hand and a load of sin, that is what the Lord wants you to bring. Mary said, oh, what manner of salutation should this be? She was so perplexed. She was so alarmed. Because not only was this too high, that meant also she could not exist before God. That was true. That was not something superficial that she simply mentioned. She, a worm. She, a sinner. Dust and ashes. How could she now ever appear before that holy and that righteous God? Oh, that was now the lesson that she had to learn, that it was free grace from on high. Those people are afraid to steal, and that is a good thing. But then also they have to learn that lesson. When the Lord is pleased to place something in that empty beggar's hand, oh, then it is not right to refuse it. Will not the Lord take care of that? Oh, surely, congregation. Because I cannot open that empty hand. This morning at the table, there was read about a man with a withered hand. No. A man with a withered hand cannot hold out that hand. No. But then the Lord said it unto him to hold out his hand, to stretch it forth, and then it was healed. And that is how it has to go in the life of that people. That the Lord graciously comes. And what does he then say? The angel said unto her, Mary, Mary, you are known in heaven. You are not forgotten. The Lord knows them that are his, writes the apostle to Timothy. Oh, the Lord knows where they live. And the Lord knows your condition. The Lord knows your awful heart. The Lord knows that you cannot believe of yourself. And now what does the Lord say? Fear not, Mary. When the Lord speaks of grace to your soul, that is not to terrify you. Poor soul, no. But that is to testify of God's grace. That is to gladden your heart. That is to save you with an everlasting salvation. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So the angel repeats it. He confirms it. That is to strengthen it for those people. Is that biblical? We read in the psalm, once hast thou spoken and twice have I heard. If there is now something in your heart and you dare not believe it, then say and beg. Humbly, yes, but say, Lord, wilt thou say it again? Wilt thou say it again? Is that not how it goes between a husband and a wife, between those who love one another? Oh, to say it once is a wonder, that that love is expressed, but if it is expressed by a renewal, that is very, very good and strengthens. Now, the Lord deals so simply, so faithfully, so lovingly with his people. Thou hast found favor with God. Oh, I shall establish my word, it is true. I shall assure you of my word, it is true. Did you notice something in the remainder of this history? We do not read of Mary's fear anymore. Why? John wrote, perfect love casteth out that fear. All that love that the Lord had shed abroad in Mary's heart at the beginning of her spiritual life, that love was now stirred up, was made fervent, and that perfect love that casteth out all that fear, and that is now the Spirit's work. That is now the Spirit's application. He said, fear not, Mary. And then he came along with that word. Then he attended it with power. And then the Lord gives you the faith to believe it. Did Mary understand it? No. But a wonder you cannot understand. And grace you cannot understand. But you know what Mary was given to do. To adore the Lord. To adore him in his work. In his word. And in all his doings. Oh, and you know how it is then in the soul. Then you begin to hearken. Then you will wait and hear what God will say. How is it in your heart, young and old? Can you come along? Shall we sing about it first? 365. 365. The stanzas 2, 3, and 4. None can stand unscathed and blameless in thy judgment just, but the contrite in thy mercy humbly trust. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 365. A surprising visit, an even more surprising address, and then follows a most surprising message. Mary, receive now the enlightenment by the Holy Spirit upon a prophecy spoken centuries before by Isaiah. For behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall call Emmanuel. She would bear a son. It was the time of God's good pleasure. And we read, there was a wonder of conception, a virgin, and yet she conceived. Later on, the angel Gabriel declared that unto Mary, that the Highest himself shall overshadow thee. God works wonders. But what was this now spiritually for Mary? Not only was the Savior wrought in her womb, but the Savior was also wrought in her heart. The Holy Spirit formed the Savior within. Paul writes about that to the Galatians. That Savior was formed in me. And you read the marginal notes, and they tell you that this is like a woman receiving the fruit in her womb. It is what Christ himself said about the Savior, he shall take of mine and give that unto you. So for Mary it was a wonder. But by the operation of the Spirit, the Savior came to dwell in her. Was that not true then? The Lord is with thee. But how does the Savior, how does the Lord now make room for that revelation of that Savior? Look at Mary's life. She had no expectation anymore. She had guilt. She had sin. It was hopeless. She had become helpless. She was guilty, a sinner, and she was perishing. On her side, it was lost. Is there now a people here this morning that has received a promise regarding that coming Savior? You say, but it is impossible. And for me it is incomprehensible. But in heaven, so it is appointed. We read, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And when the Lord makes that come to pass, he gives a bowing. He gives a yearning. He gives a longing. He gives a love unto that Savior. Had Mary now ever seen that Savior, her son? No. But is it not true that when that Savior was wrought in Mary's heart, she had not seen him, remember, and yet she loved him. She esteemed him. She longed for him, that he would come forth, and that she could hold him in her arms, the arms of faith, that she could speak to him, and that he would also come and be her a Savior. Congregation, it is a wonder for a people that is lost, forgotten, undeserving. And the Lord speaks a promise, but then begins to fulfill that promise, that there is something in the heart. And he is there, as Mary received that holy conception of the Holy Ghost. That is not the work of man. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord gives that wonder of that conception, then he shall also give the wonder of the fruit, that in due time he shall come forth, and thou shalt bring forth a son. When God promises, he fulfills at his time. When God makes that pledge, oh, he shall not ever go back upon his word, because that is his honor and his mercy that he desires to show unto such people. But then the Lord does even more to that Mary, that virgin. He declares even more of that son who would be born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It is a wonder. If you know that the person of the Savior is there, it is a further wonder if the Lord leads you into who he is by his name, Jesus. Our congregation, we read in the Song of Solomon, his name is as ointment poured forth. And therefore do the virgins love him. The virgins, that refers to the church of God, that are just on that way, do not know yet that Savior, but they love his name. And here there is that Virgin Mary. And oh, did she not love that name of Jesus? And if there are now those people here, virgins, ashamed, undone, and lost, so guilty, for whom it is so impossible to be saved, and now to hear that name, Jesus, the sweetness of that name, it is a fragrant name, it is a pure and holy name, it is such a precious name, a gracious name. That is now a name suitable unto your case. That is now a name all sufficient, for everything is in him. And that name shall also be necessary unto you. Oh, Newton has said it, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Because if we have not received that true faith of God, then it is Jesus of five letters and no more. And we can talk an hour about him, and it is nothing but five letters. But a poor, struggling soul, unto whom that name is revealed, oh, that is a name so sweet, so glorious, so very precious, Jesus. That means he is the greater Joshua. And what did Joshua do for Israel? Was he not the one that was the captain against the Philistines? Was he not the one that led that people through the river Jordan? Was that not the one who gave the whole inheritance of that promised land unto that people of Israel? And see, that is now Jesus, appointed of God, provided by God, and then sent by God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He is the only Savior. He is now that spiritual Savior. He is that perfect Savior. He is the one of whom the Father has testified, I have laid up help upon one that is mighty, and he is strong to save. Oh, if there are those weak people here, he alone, he is strong to save. Later unto Joseph that same name was revealed. For he shall save his people from all their sins. Oh, he has come to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when that middle wall of partition was broken down, he also was sent to save the lost of all the Gentiles. They are redeemed unto God by his blood alone. And then it is a salvation of those from all kindreds and nations and tongues and peoples, saved from sin, from Satan, from misery, from shame, from everlasting hell. Saved, that means also to be made partaker of the highest good, the greatest glory, that blessed communion and fellowship with the Lord alone and with his people. Jesus, that is the destroyer of all sin in my life. But he is also the giver of all salvation in my life. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Young and old, it is time that we shall close this morning. But how is it now in your heart? And how is it now in my heart? In him, in that blessed Jesus, lies all the salvation. And that is a salvation so great and so abundant that there is more grace than guilt, more mercy than need. There is salvation for all the sinners. It's not applied to all the sinners, but there is none to whom that salvation can not reach. He is the Savior. You know what that means? He has merited salvation. He is the author of salvation. He is in heaven now and sent his Spirit to apply that salvation. As the Good Shepherd, he has proclaimed it, that I lay down my life for my sheep, and I give unto them eternal life. Oh, do you know unto whom that Savior is now sent? Unto whom that Savior is now proclaimed, even in this morning? To those Marys, grieving, lonely, and sorrowful. But what shall those Marys now, in due time, experience? He shall ever turn your sorrow into gladness on the morrow. Amen. O eternal, most gracious and all-sufficient Lord, wilt thou now apply the truth, bring it home in the hearts of those where thou wilt be pleased to bring it. Thou knowest all things, Lord, also of this morning. Forgive our shortcomings, but may we also receive a humble and thankful heart that thou hast given tidings and that thou hast also given to bear them in the midst of this flock. Lord, bring us safely to our destination. Give us yet to ponder these truths as Mary did, and that in the evening we may be enabled to come once again to thy house. We ask it, Lord, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 289. The stanzas 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, his deeds make known, and call upon his name. Sing ye to him his praises, sing his wondrous works proclaim. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength, seek him forevermore. 1 and 2 of 289. Depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.